Now that the CITES COP20 in Samarkand, Uzbekistan, has slammed the door on Southern Africa's doomed strategy to monetize ivory and rhino horn, it's surely time for the sustainable wildlife industries to take a good, hard look at themselves. The world no longer accepts the blunt use-it-or-lose-it mantra, the fake claims of scientific methods and community benefits, and the bullying of those of us who challenge their claims with probing questions. Decision makers have made it clear that the primary focus on money does not cut it in wildlife conservation, that glossing over illegal and immoral practices has to stop if this once proud industry is to rise from its self-imposed exile. They see through the thin veneer to the systemic flaws and credibility failures of a conservation model that is failing us all. We are the principal leaders in the sustainable wildlife industries who will step up in an industry that is so crucial for protecting our biodiversity. Who will exorcise the morally bankrupt operators in their midst? Who will win back those who, like me, truly believe in sustainable wildlife use when conducted legally, ethically, and with science as the cornerstone? Will the respected farmers and landowners take the industry by the throat and turn it around, or is the rot so deep that the industry will never meet its potential? Time will tell. On the same tack, thanks to all who provided feedback on my previous editorial and on our recent article about the Botswana elephant hunting industry. One respected doyen of the tourism industry dropped me this message. He said, "Never had enough big old gentleman elephant bulls to satisfy this quota, and the impact of the over-extraction is now evident when one travels around Botswana. Sure, they're the occasional older bulls that have survived by keeping away from the hunting areas, and there are plenty of 30-something bulls around, but we are missing those grand old gents who are no longer around at scale to guide and mentor the greater herd." Enough said.